Sometimes I do feel like it, though. In the year 2000, I had the privilege of visiting a little Methodist church in Augusta, Georgia, in the United States. And what was to be just a week of a healing mission, reaching out to the surrounding community, became a 40-day outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think that it is significant that we have in our midst, just for a short time, a couple of men who have had the privilege of hosting, of having God's Spirit move in a major outpouring of His Spirit. And we're going to ask one of them tonight just to come and to share his heart and to release that which he's carrying. And I encourage you this night to receive what God has given an extraordinary man. Folks, I want to introduce to you Pastor Ron Furnio from Augusta, Georgia.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Our God is awesome. You know, one touch from God can change everything. Amen. One touch. Isaiah experienced that. But I want to thank Paul and the pastors for inviting Craig to come. And then when I got here, Craig so graciously asked if I might be able to speak. And I'm thankful for that and just looking forward to this time. I did want to ask a couple questions when we get started, and that is that, is this okay? Can we do this? All right. How many of you had a touch from God these past four nights? How many of you experienced the presence of God on your body in a way perhaps you never... Look at that. Awesome. We bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. We bless what you... How many people were healed in their body? You had a physical healing in your body these last couple days. Sore backs, ears opened up, headaches went away. One back there. Who else? Okay, there we go. Yeah, there we go. You slept all night, didn't you? You had rest, right? Okay. Anyone else? Elaine, what about you? Your neck. Okay. And you had sleep one night? More energy? Okay, yeah. Anybody else? Hey, you know what? See, when you testify about Jesus, it's the spirit of prophecy. When you give a testimony to what God has done in your body, it releases a prophetic opportunity that someone will grab onto that healing, and they will receive it themselves. It'll raise their expectations. My God, this God is alive. My God, what is in my Bible is true. It might, if it happened to her, hey, I know her or him, it can happen to me. See, it's important that we testify. We testify what Jesus has done in our life, what His touch upon our life has made us and changed us. And indeed, His love makes us sing, right? I could sing of His love forever. So it's important. Important to testify. And really, great thing is that we testify of what God's doing in our lives after we get saved, after we get baptized, after we get filled with the Holy Spirit. We testify what great works God is doing through me. Not that it directs attention to us, but because Jesus brought glory to the Father through what He did. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm sorry, I'm preaching already, but it's important. Brother Dan here, isn't he an awesome man? How many of you got to hear Brother Dan, Pastor Dan the other night? You guys missed a treat, the ones that didn't hold up your hand. He's an awesome man of God. He's going to come back to England someday, right? And get to preach again, right? Awesome man of God. And, you know, he started out by saying, asking that y'all forgive him for the language and give him some grace. And I thought that was really great. We need lots of grace. Because, you know, there's a difference in our languages. You know, in America, way out means something far out, dude. Like, you know, you're really on the extreme. It's an exit to us, but it's way out here. Right? That way out. We say, you're really far out, dude. You know, you're extreme. Okay. And then, you know, there's mind your step here in England, you know. We don't apply our mind to walking down a step. We watch our step to make sure we don't stumble. And when we were in Ireland, we saw these severe bends. A severe bend, you know. That was in Toronto. People were getting the crunches. Have you ever seen that? People doing this number here. I met a lawyer in from London doing, oh, that was a severe bend. But so if I say something unusual, it's okay to interrupt me and say, what did you say, lad? You know, you can ask me. And in my church, people help me out because sometimes I lose a word that I want to say. And so I'll look, you know I try to grasp that word, and people will speak it out. And you know what? The Holy Spirit just helps me every time. So, so give me grace. What'd say, Judith? This is my wife. Stand up, Judith. Pray for her. She has to endure my preaching, you know? When I went into the ministry, it was really a fearful thing to think she was going to listen to me all the time. But the Holy Spirit says, I will teach you. And sure enough, I think most of the time, except when I go real long, there's a time when your seat gives out from your learning ability. So she, but anyway, let me go on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want you to, if you feel comfortable, grab the hand of your neighbor, and let's just pray a moment, okay? Because it's really about the Holy Spirit. It's really not about me. It's what God wants to do in this place because of your heart. And let's just pray. Just say, Lord God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come this night. We sang that one touch from you can change us. And Lord, I ask that I have a touch tonight. That your Holy Spirit would touch me. That your Holy Spirit would touch the one on my right. That your Holy Spirit would touch the one on my left. Oh God, that you would speak to their innermost being. And for the one that needs healed, tonight your healing presence would bring release and set the captives free. For that anointing has been placed upon us. That people can be set free from pain and emotional trauma, and things of the past. Tonight, oh God, do a work in this place, and let your joy fall, and strengthen us, we ask. Amen? Amen. You know, it was the worst of times, and it's the best of times. The world says it's the worst of times. This book tells us it's the best of times. Today is the best of times in all the history of humankind. There is nothing greater going on the earth than what God, by His Holy Spirit and by His power and what His anointing is releasing upon. Nothing better has ever happened on the earth but what's going on today. There is so much good news going on the earth, it would overwhelm us. It cannot be contained in all the writings of man. It is the best of times to be alive. It is the best of times to be a Christian. The best of times, because God is doing amazing things all over the earth. And you know, when Craig came and I went down to a Methodist meeting down in Florida, glory to God, there, Holy Spirit, tongue-talking, healing-believing Methodists came together. That's something to shout about. Because many of us sometimes are dead. But Craig came there, and it probably was the worst place he thought to be to get a healing. I think he shared that with me one time. He says, that was the last thing on my mind, that God would ever heal me in a Methodist church. But when his friend shared about that he was going to die in the next few days, he could have died that day. He looked so bad, to tell you the truth. And indeed, the congregation did pray for him. But there was a spiritual dynamic that happened about four or five or six people. And a spirit of intercession, something on their inner part, began to touch their spirit. And they had a burden to pray for this man to get him set free. I did not have that burden. But there were other persons who carried that burden. They went up front, they began to pray for Craig. And his knees and legs turned to jelly. It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. I mean, he was just like a rubber man, you know. And his eyes rolled back in his head, you know. And every once in a while, we'd hear a yell or a scream. But we went right on with our conference, you know. After all, you got to get down to business. So they began to preach and share what they had on their mind. And we had no idea that God was putting a new stomach in this guy. And I had no idea about him eating chicken that it was that significant until he came back to our church a few days later and shared that indeed God had done a miracle in his life. And I'd heard some rumors about him. And when he came, sure enough. Now, when he left our church the first time, he went up to Toronto. And he, there was a guy by the name of Carlos Anacondia there. Anybody ever heard of Carlos Anacondia? In the Argentine revival, been going on for 20 years. He had a word of knowledge. He says there's a person here who has been healed of cancer that God is going to release into a worldwide ministry of healing. And Craig and a few other people walked up there on the stage, and Craig said that when Carlos Anacondia looked at him, he said, "You're the one." And I know Craig said, "Oh, my. You know, really, Lord?" Or I don't know. But I can say that God has confirmed that prophetic word that was given to him. Prophetic words are important. And the spirit of prophecy operates in this church body. And it's important, you who hold the gift, to pray indeed. When you come to a worship service, when you come to a place of a meeting, that you're praying, "Oh God, will you give me a word? What about the person that I meet at the door? What about the person sitting next to me? Oh God, what would you like to speak into this person's life?" Because it tells us what God wants to do. And you know, when God gives a word of knowledge or a prophetic word, we have to contend for it sometimes. But we know it's God's will. When I get on an airplane and fly anywhere, you know, a lot of people are afraid to fly. And if I sit down and next to somebody and they're just really fearful on that plane, I'll say, "You don't have to worry about it. We're going there because God has given me so many prophetic words that have not come true in my life. You know, I've got countries I'm going to go to." And they'll look at me a little bit weird, but in my heart, I know I'm not going anywhere. Because God has spoken into my life numerous times what's going to be happening. And I believe that. Because that's what the prophetic gift is for, amen? Well, let's get to the text. That was a warm-up. So, one of my favorite scriptures is Ezekiel 47 in the water that is being poured out and running out from the temple. Are you familiar with the scripture? It's that scripture where the water is coming from the presence of God. It's coming underneath the door. It's just a trickle of water that is coming out under the door, and it's making its way down this mountain. Actually, at some point in time, the water's got to go up in Jerusalem, but we won't go there. But it says that the water begins to deepen, and when they walk out 1,000 cubits, it gets ankle deep. When they walk out another 1,000 cubits, it gets knee deep. When they walk out another 1,000 cubits, it gets to be a real torrent, and you have to swim. That's indicative of what God is beginning to do throughout the ages. Throughout the ages, His Holy Spirit has been poured out. And it has been at a level. And then it might come back a little bit. But then at the next level, it gets deeper. And I mean, that happened in the Azusa Street Revival in the beginning of the 1900s. That it got out there to that knee-deep level. And now we're beginning to get into that waist-deep. When the Toronto Altcoin in 1994, on January the 20th, the Holy Spirit was poured out in a place. It was the longest running revival known to humankind. It started in 1994. It didn't end. In fact, it's not over yet. But they had meetings every night, folks, except Mondays, until the year 2006. One place. A meeting place is the name of Toronto. But it has affected millions of people throughout the ages. Just as Craig's ministry has affected thousands of persons wherever he goes to start fires. But God is up to something. I was thinking about the 1,000 cubits. Could that be 1,000 years? Because, in Ezekiel, it was written somewhere around 600 B.C. You have 1,000 years before Christ, 1,000 through the years of David, and then you have Jesus, and then you have the year 2000, and just kind of working out that indeed the Lord is bringing about a revival. Now, the wonderful thing about Ezekiel is that this river, as it gets deeper and wider, goes down into a Dead Sea. I've been to the Dead Sea. There's nothing that lives in the Dead Sea. It has lots of minerals and lots of salt. But what this river does is whatever it touches. It says in the scripture, when this river gets down to that Dead Sea, whatever it touches comes alive. It says that there's going to be all kinds of fish in that dead water. And there are going to be those who are fishermen and fisherwomen standing on the banks who are casting their nets. And see, the prophetic word is that the next revival, the one that we're in right now, a billion people are going to come to the Lord. A billion people are going to become Christians. And all the churches of the world cannot hold a billion people. Good thing we got cell groups. It's a good place to be. But can you imagine? Can you wrap around your heart? Can you take your faith and wrap it around that? Understand that this river is flowing today and is going all over the world. And wherever it touches, in the deadest places on the earth, people are coming alive. Nothing is impossible with our God. It can be the most horrendous criminal in all the world. And one touch from him. When I was in course of study school, when I was in seminary, I had a number of guys who had murdered people. And the Spirit of God had touched them and they'd come alive. And they're great preachers. One guy was about as big as Brother Dan here. And he could preach up a storm. And he, with conviction, you know. Today, a river is flowing. And I believe it's flowing right here. One of the things that happened when Craig came, that we had a physical manifestation of a moving river right in the sanctuary. And his place too. But I mean, people would get there, oh my gosh, the water is flowing, you know. We had people that fell on the ground and they got frozen. We had people we left behind at night. Lock up, I'm going home, you know. We had gold dust. We had feathers flying around, you know. Angel feathers. Little bitty old feathers. They just pop down. God does some things sometimes that surprise us, you know. But you know, nothing's impossible with God. See, this river is flowing. You know, before I came over, I was on the internet, and there are a lot of other meetings going on in London and the area, in England and Ireland, you know. There are healing meetings and signs and wonders meetings going all over the country. Did you ever hear that before? 30 years ago, did you hear about healing meetings going on all over the country? No. But today, there's people all over where the Spirit of God is moving. People are preaching the Word, signs and wonders, healing going on. Why? Because God is releasing that into the church. It's the age of the church. It's the age of the fivefold minister being renewed. It's the age of the people, no longer to be pew sitters, but filled with the anointing and the power of God to go out into the marketplace and give a testimony and witness. Hey, God is alive! He's not dead! I don't care what the theologian said in 1960 at Emory University. They're dead, but he's not. You know, Mozambique was the poorest country in all the world. There's a little woman by the name of Heidi Baker. She has a double doctorate from Oxford in system theology. But she can barely preach by the written. She preaches from the unction. Most of her preaching is something like this. Oh, God. Oh, let's just get filled with His Spirit. Let's just have the joy. Oh, let's just have the joy. My wife could barely spend any time listening to Joel, to Heidi until she went to one of her meetings. And then she understood what unction was and what was happening. But today, Mozambique has been touched by the Spirit of God. They have over 7,000 churches. Heidi, they go into the Muslim villages. And she'll get in the market square and she'll begin to preach the word of God. And some of the Muslims will begin to get angry that Jesus' name is being lifted up. And the proclamation of what Jesus is doing upon the earth and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And they'll pick up some stones and get ready to stone her. And she'll say, bring me your sick. They'll bring a blind person or a deaf person or someone's lame. And she says, well, if God does not heal them, I'll leave. You know what God does? He heals them. The whole village stands amazed at what God has done because they know this person was blind because they lived with him. They know this person was deaf and now they can hear. They know this person was indeed a lame person. It's not something being put on. The whole village will come to know Jesus. All over. Where they go, villages are coming to know Jesus. Muslims. Some of the emirs are just amazed at what, and they'll say, no one else could do this but Jesus. I have no answer. Allah is not as great as I thought he was. Glory! Can you say glory? There is but one God, and his name is Jesus. There's one way to heaven. There's one way. And God desires that all who were created upon the earth would come to know him. Amen? There was a man by the name of Todd Bentley, a young guy. He was 23 years old. He dropped out of school in the eighth grade. He was a Canadian, lived up in British Columbia. He was into drugs. He was into abuse. He was into stealing. He spent time in juvenile detention quite a bit. He spent time in prison. His mom and dad were abusive. His mother was deaf. And very abusive. And one day, in one day, the Lord came to him. He was the last person on earth you would think would ever be a preacher. The last person on earth that you think God would entrust with the power of God. But this no account, no good kid that most people said, we should electrocute him, get rid of him, perhaps. God came, began to speak to him. And then the Lord says, I want you to go to this meeting, much like they were having a meeting right here. I said, I want you to go to that meeting. The woman that's in charge of that meeting will take up an offering for you, and she will send you out into a worldwide ministry of healing. And today that's happening as he goes. See, the river is flowing. It comes to a little bitty crossroads like Allendale. It comes to a little bitty no-account Methodist church with a discounted pastor. It comes to Camden, London. He goes where people are hungry. When I was in Belém, Brazil, I went to a meeting. It's right on the headwaters of the Amazon. And in Belém that particular night, there was 4,000 people standing in a soccer stadium because there was no place to sit. There was 4,000 people who stood there for 4 hours just to get into the stadium because that's all the capacity would hold them. And they worshiped for an hour and they preached for an hour and it began raining after about 2 hours. But the team stayed there and we began to minister to people. I went out into the rain. I had this woman who had rheumatoid arthritis. She was racked with pain. And I began to pray for her. And something began to choke her. She began to turn purple. And I thought, this isn't right. She should die when I pray for her. I mean, I got scared. I mean, this woman is dying. Something is choking her. And so I backed off. And so I asked her, I said, is any of your family in spiritism or Macumba spirit? I mean, are y'all involved in that Macumba snake cult there is in Brazil? And she says, no. She says, but my husband's mother and father were involved in it at one time. So I said, okay, I let her renounce it. Let her to ask forgiveness for trusting in some other God that wasn't true. Began to pray for it. Once again, that spirit began to choke her. I said, oh, no, you have no right No authority, the blood of Jesus, you cannot remain. Pop, it goes off. She falls to the ground, gets up about 5 or 10 minutes later, completely healed. Free, man. You're talking about when the Lord touches you, one touch can change your life. Her life changed. She turned around, twirled. You talk about somebody dancing for the Lord because God had touched her, she, and her body expressed that. The same thing happened again. We were in another town that started with a C. I can't pronounce it, but this woman came up. She's about 30 years old. She ran into a tree when she was a young girl, and she was blind in one eye. And so I began to pray for her, and you know, the Lord just kind of lets me know sometimes when it's not flowing, when there's a blockage in the life. And I asked her, I said, are you in the Spirit? Oh, no. We were Roman Catholic, and they were attending another church. And I said, well, did your daddy take you to a spiritist, or did your daddy? And she thought, yeah, he did. He took me to be healed at a spiritist. I said, well, the word of God says that if anybody sick among you, that you would call the elders. They would anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith would set them free. And so I had her repent, renounce it, laid hands upon her, and a what? Blind eye. Put her hand, you know, I can see! And she read my name tag. And she had two sisters that were there, and they got up on the stage, they got on the mic. She was blind, and now she sees! She was blind! I mean, they were testifying about, you know, the spirit of prophecy broke out, you know? My sister had one blind. She was blind in one eye, and now she can see. You know, there's nothing more exciting. It's the best of times when the Holy Spirit breaks out in the place. Amen? I mean, you know, when a blind eye opens up, or someone gets delivered of a demon, or they're set free, or they're healed, it's time to dance. It's time to shout. It's time to say, yes, Lord, more! Bring it on! Oh, God. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you long to see that? Do you long to see the drunk set free? We had one boy come down. He was addicted on cocaine. And there was a word of knowledge that morning that anybody addicted could be set free. And he came down to the altar. We didn't lay a hand on him. We just prayed. In the name of Jesus, you're set free. Set free from cocaine addiction and given a new life. Oh, man, one touch can change your life. And that's what's happening on there. Indeed, it's the best of times all over the earth, on the internet. If you will get on there, you will read the testimonies of so many people. And I believe it's coming here even to a greater degree than what you've experienced. Because there's going to be release. And Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on the anointing. I'm going to be preaching on the passing down. I'm going to be preaching on John 14:12. All those who believe in me will do the same works that I have done. All those who believe in me. You see, there's a lot of believers in the church. But what God is doing, he is equipping people to be believing believers. There's action to our belief. We put what we believe into action. We begin to act out what we indeed believe. You know, like in our songs now, it says, I lift my hands. Well, what are you doing with your hands by your side? If you're singing, Lord, I lift my hands to give you praise. Or I'll just sing of you forever. Your love makes me sing. See, out of that, our body should respond to what we're saying. That would be people that are following what the Holy Spirit is doing in the place. And so I just encourage you, be sensitive to what you sing. Be sensitive to what the Lord is doing. You know, in Redding, California, there's a pastor by the name of Bill Johnson. I think Kelly's going to be going there. But Bill Johnson has a people that they have taught about healing, and they believe that with all their heart. And when they leave that church and they go out into the marketplace, they just look for somebody who's got a cane, somebody that's in a wheelchair. They look for somebody with a walker, somebody with a cast. And they just say, can I pray for you? They grab a hand and say, Lord Jesus, that your healing would be manifested in this person. And many, many times, healed right there on that spot. And that's our expectation. When we pray for somebody, we expect healing. We expect the Lord to move and touch that life, because that's the promise that the prayer of faith will set the people free. And I expect that tonight. And I expect that in the lives of others when we leave here, whenever Craig leaves, whatever week it might be. I expect that there's going to be a deposit, there's going to be a greater release of the healing anointed. Believe that indeed God can use the little old me. Using teenagers, using young kids, powerful things are happening. We had one little girl, she was 11 years old. We have a prayer ministry in our food bank. Her name is Virginia. A woman came in and she had braces on her legs. She had a walker. She came in to get her food. And then she didn't know they were going to pray for her that day. But anyway, she got in there. Had never seen her before. This little 11-year-old girl came over and she laid hands upon that knee. Just a simple prayer. Lord, heal this lady's knee. And little Virginia says, she says, I felt a pop. And sure enough, there was a kneecap right there. The woman threw off her braces, threw away the walker, and she walked out. Now that's something to shout about. And it's going to happen here. It's going to happen in your church, in your place, in your home group, in your marketplace. You're going to see the hand of God move, because as you come into faith and understand that, yes, it's for today. It's my right, my inheritance, my anointing, because He gave it to me. Amen. All it is, we got to overcome our fear. The fear that if I lay hands and it don't happen, what's it going to make me look like? But you see, it's up to God. I don't have the power to heal. But I know that His Holy Spirit that lives within me, the same Holy Spirit that lived within Jesus and released healing in His life. You see, Jesus did nothing because He was the Son of God in terms of healing. Now that might cross your theology a little bit, but Sunday morning I'll prove it to you. By the word, that Jesus depends upon the Holy Spirit just like you and I do. And that's why He could say that. There's another story I wanted to share with you. How much time do I have? Till 9? Got to do it in 10 minutes? Okay, I'll try. There's a story, the prodigal son in Luke 15. And it's my story. I love to tell the story. Because I was a prodigal son. I was a Frank Sinatra and I decided to do it my way. I was brought up in the Methodist church. I was an acolyte that lit the little candles. Went to youth group. But at the age of 18, I said, if that's all there is to church, if there's nothing else going on more than that, I'll tell you, I'm leaving here. I'm going someplace else. And I did. I left. Now, my wife and I, we got married right out of high school. And she was a little Baptist girl. And she continued to take the children to Sunday school and things like that. But not me. I said, no, that's not relevant. It doesn't mean anything to me. And I'm not going. I don't like what I'm going to share with you. I'm not proud of it, but I have no guilt. But as a young man, one way that I proved my manhood was my conquest and sexual encounters with women. It was a challenge. And so, even though I was married and even though we had a covenant, I wasn't satisfied. And I spent a lot of time drinking, a lot of time running around. And for about 10 years, my wife would forgive me. I would tell her I wouldn't do it again. And the next night or 2 days later, whatever it was, I'd be back out drinking again, running around again. Gambling came into my life. I won a lot of money. And I lost a lot of money. But I loved to gamble. Oh, it was better than eating and sleeping. Nothing more like drawn to an inside straight when you get it. Now, when you don't, and you lost your paycheck. But I also was a thief in that I managed a retail store, and I had access to goods, and I had access to monies. And I would take money out of the tills to repay my debts to go back into gambling. Not proud of that. But that's what, I was living it my way. And I was having a good time, I thought. And I came home one night after 10 years. And Judith tells me, she says, I don't love you. I hate you. I do not want to live with you. I'm going to divorce you. There's nothing. I have no feeling. You've killed me. You've deserted me. You've abused me. I want nothing to do with you any longer. Now, I should have known that was coming. But I didn't. Because I thought, because I provided for her and gave her things, that that was sufficient. But it wasn't. She didn't feel love. She didn't feel like she was a number 10 in my life. Well, sure enough, I took her off to the Bahamas thinking there's some way we can make it up. And, man, it was cold duck soup. I mean, it was... There was no making up on that trip, you know. And we came home and I was really discouraged. I thought about suicide, to tell you the truth. And about that time I get transferred to Ohio and she says, great opportunity, he's getting out of town, I'll have my divorce, I'll get off and find me somebody else. She was really excited about me going out of town, but the thing is that my mom and dad had a little bit of money and they knew some lawyers, they knew the justice system. And we threatened to take those kids. Well, those kids were my wife's life. She was a great mom. And she was a good wife. But it was all, mainly it was my problem. So anyway, we go off to Ohio, and her lawyer says, well, look, they've got control here. You better go off with him. And when you get over there after a year, then you get your divorce. Be okay. Well, what the Lord set up, and we didn't know what happened, is that we got transferred around for the next 3 years, or the next 2 years, and we never stayed in the city longer than 9 months, which was not long enough, because back then you had to reside in your county for a year before you could get a divorce. And we finally come down to Augusta, Georgia, and I was a manager of a $208 million store and several hundred employees, and I was still doing the same thing. I was gambling, drinking, and run around. Even though at that time I had repented, I wanted to be good, I wanted to make our marriage work, I still. But one night we went to a little old Baptist church. Somebody had invited, got after us, and that we would come to their revival. And I heard that message for the first time, that I needed forgiveness. I needed the blood of Jesus to cover my sins. And indeed, he came. And I was forgiven. And really, I was like Craig. I lost half my language. And the employees that worked for me, because of my nature and the words that I would say, they were just totally amazed that there was this complete switch. Well, it was a wonderful opportunity when people would say, what in the world is happening? Well, let me tell you what the Lord had done for me. He has touched my body and my body, and he has set me free. Glory to God. And we had revival in that store. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to read the Word. And sure enough, went to one of these prophetic meetings, and one guy stands me up and says, you are going to preach the gospel. I said, oh, no, not me. Not with my past, not where I've been. Oh, no, not me. And sure enough, the Lord began to put it upon my heart, began to move into my life, and I began to see. And in fact, would you know that when I was an 11-year-old boy, I didn't know this at the time, but when I was 11 years old, there was a Methodist preacher who had an impression that I would be a preacher someday. Oh, a confirmation that indeed what the Lord had in store for me in my life. You know, I don't know where you've been. I don't know what kind of life that you've led. And I don't know where you are in the Lord. There was a young woman, her name was Maria. She was a beautiful young girl. She lived on the outskirts of the large city down in Brazil. And people would come by and they would tell her how beautiful she is. And she had, her mind began to be filled with becoming this beautiful young woman. She would be a star in the movies, and you know, all that imagination began. And she was going to go off to the big city, and her mother says, oh no, don't go off to the big city. There's no place you don't have a job, and there are evil people there. They'll put you into prostitution. And sure enough, she left the home. She goes off. She's gone for a year or so. Her mom is just worrying about her, praying for her. And so her mom takes all the money that she has, and she goes down to a printing shop in the big city. And she has some photographs printed off as many as she could. She went around to all the tenements, to all the bars, all the places of prostitution, and she would tack this photo up in a place that someone might see it. Building after building, place after place, until everyone was gone. She went home, waited. A couple months later, in walks Maria. And she says, "Oh, Mom, that photo of you on that wall touched my heart, because you'd written on there, I don't care what you become, I don't care where you've been, I don't care what you've done, come home." And that's the message of the gospel, and that's the good news of the light that we can share into the darkness. Whatever person you can set your eyes upon, I don't care what condition they're in, I don't care what they've done, I don't care where they've been, but you have a good word for them. You can say, God has a great plan for you, a plan to give you hope, to give you a future, not despair, in Jeremiah 29:11, and that was written to a people who were in a far-off place, who had been put there because of disobedience to God's word. 29:11 was written to a people who were far off in a bondage. But God says, I have good plans for you, to give you hope and to bless you. It's good news. But you know, that prodigal son, one of my greatest prayers for someone who's lost is that they will come to their senses. Anyone have some loved one, a son, daughter, grandson, wife, spouse, husband, grandmother that is lost and you're praying for? One of the greatest prayers we can pray Scripture. Oh God, that they would come to their senses. And I came to my senses. That prodigal son came to his senses and he says, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my father, man, I've really blown. I've taken my inheritance. I take all the money, all the gifts and talents that you entrusted me, and I've wasted them on riotous living. I wasted them upon the earth. You know, sometimes we can waste our lives thinking that an education, thinking that perhaps a particular job, particular level of income, particular car, particular part of clothing, that we, you know, some kind of lifestyle is going to make us happy, but I woke up this morning and Martin says, have you read Ecclesiastes lately? I said, yeah. He says, what's that all about? It's a little bit depressing. But you see, if you read it with the scriptures in mind of the promises of God, it's not depressing, because if you waste your life going after things, indeed you will have a meaningless life. And my life was meaningless. I came to the end of my life and I was about ready to blow my brains out. But I was afraid of where I was going. The prodigal son wasted his life, but he came to his senses. Now the good news is, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you become, God's got a plan for you. He desires to release the gifts of God within you to bring glory to his name. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that he's already got things stored up, great works for you to do for Jesus. For you. Everyone. It says all. All. Is there anyone here who's not part of all? Now what is really beautiful about this story is this: when this prodigal son comes home and wasted his life, wasted his daddy's money, and he's going to come back and apologize and just kind of be a worker, you know, live in the lower basement. Maybe rake the grass, mow the grass for mom and dad, whatever it might be. We read in the story that this father is out looking for the son. And it says that he sees him far off. The young man doesn't even get an opportunity to apologize, but the father embraces him. Now, this is the significant part of the story that I want you to remember. The father took and put a mantle back upon his son. A mantle talks about your anointing. A mantle talks about your destiny. See, wherever you've been, when you come to the Lord, He puts a new mantle. He puts that mantle back already that was designed for you to wear all of your life. The plans that He had for you, the gifts and talents He was going to pour into your life, the great things that you were going to do, the people that were going to come to know Jesus through you, He took that mantle and put it back up on the Son. He said, "This is your destiny, Son." And I'm sure He told him those things that He had planned for him. And then He takes this ring. He takes and gives him the ring of authority. You see, the Father's ring was that ring that says, you know, if you put that stamp and the wax in any place else, they'll know it came from me. That ring of authority means that he had now the right to declare and speak for his Father. Even though he was a no good son, but when he came back, he was redeemed. Now, when I came to be a preacher in my family, Jewish family thought I, they didn't really accept the idea that I could speak for God, did they? And there may be some other people that come to the Lord. You may not think, well, what are they doing laying hands on people and they're getting well? What are they doing with the prophetic word? What are they doing with in the deliverance? Who do they think, you know, look at all the stuff they did. But no, God doesn't look. He looks at the heart. And I'm telling you, in your ministry as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have good news. Now, if you've been someone who's been in the far-off place, if you've been wasting your life after things, and you, there is a despair in your life, and there is a pain in your life. There's a lostness. There's a sense of hopelessness. And you really think this is the worst of times and not the best of times. It just seems there's nothing that can get you out of your mess. We sang a song that said, "One touch from the King can change your life. One touch can set you back on the pathway to walk in His anointing." Become, you know, the last thing I wanted to do when I was a kid, a young man, was to be gentle and kind and weep in front of people. I wanted to be macho. I wanted to be the football star, you know. I wanted to be admired, you know. Gentle and kind? Man, that's not a man. I'm somewhat gentle, and I'm somewhat kind, and I cry a lot, because I just know what the Lord wants to do in a person's life. And there's an old song out by Steve Green. I wish I could sing it. I did one time. My wife asked me to never do it again. But it goes like, you know, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. Broken dreams. However it goes. But indeed, people need the Lord. Do you? Do you have broken dreams? Is there a sense of hopelessness? Are your eyes blank? Are they vacant? If you would, I'm going to ask the people to stand up. I'm going to ask the music team to come back. If you would you stand? But people needed the Lord, and then I needed the Lord. And I'm just going to ask you tonight, very quickly, it's not going to be very long. The boldest thing is just to step out and say, if the Spirit of God has touched your heart tonight, if my story or the Lord's story, if there was something that clicked within your heart and you felt as though perhaps the Lord was speaking directly to you, I just encourage you to come now. Without music. Just make a step. Lord Jesus, I've heard your wonderful message tonight, and I want to accept that grace. I want to accept your destiny that you've got planned for me, which I know is good beyond expectation, far more than what we can think or imagine. no matter what you've done. I don't care if you're hooked on anything. I don't care what kind of life you did. Don't care where you were last night. Don't care where you were last weekend. But tonight, the Lord's calling. He's calling out to you and me. Come home. Come home. And oh, the joy that will fill your heart. His first gift is peace. The second one is just a sense of release. No longer guilty. But free. Come home. We'll wait on you just a moment. You're good, Lord, and one touch can change. Even if you don't have faith to believe it's for you, tonight it's for you. His touch upon your soul and your spirit tonight will change you forever. See, we call it being born again. Indeed, I was born again. And oh, how my life changed. Perhaps you know the Lord. This will be the second call. If you're hungry for more, when those words are read that the anointing of the Lord is upon me because He has called me to preach the good news or share the good news, He's called me to set the captives free. If you want to be filled with this Holy Spirit, to be baptized with power, Jesus says to wait and receive power from Him. Power for the kingdom. Power to bring glory to your God to a greater degree. We're going to ask you to come forward to there. Just respond to the move of the Holy Spirit tonight. Come forward and say, Lord, I want to receive more of you. And Dan and Craig are here to pray for you just to receive more. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, sir. There's a call for this area, call for the church, call for those believers who have believed things, but you'll become believing believers. You'll put into action the words that you believe. To go into the marketplace, to be a vessel of the Lord. To sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow through you and to touch other lives. Oh, it's the best of times. In the kingdom of God, it's the best of times, for His Spirit is moving. It's calling you, and it's calling me. Come. Just come on down. Just make your way through. Press on. You know, in the kingdom, you just got to press through. Press through. That woman with the issue of blood, she crawled on her hands and knees to get to Jesus. She pushed her way through the crowd. Don't let anybody take your anointing. It's a release for the kingdom of God to come upon the earth and His will to be done here as it is in heaven. We will see the kingdom here, and you are one of His vessels. You've been called by God. He knows your name. He's got that mantle He wants to put on to you to a different degree. He wants to slip that ring of authority upon you. That you would walk the earth with the Spirit of the living God within you. And you would carry it to the nations. There's some of you that are going to go to the nations. And you will see the signs and wonders of God moving. You're going to see it here, but you'll see it to where people are hungry. You'll see people press in. We'll give you just a couple minutes. I want to invite you one more time. Come, 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 come. You always need more. You never have enough of the Holy Spirit. Every place I go, I go because I need more. I'm not there. I am not conformed to the image of Jesus yet. And I just want to be. Thank you. Thank you. Just, if you would, hold your hands out before the Lord. This night that we would say, Father, I give myself to you. There are those things within my life that hinder me. I ask you to forgive me of those things. For those patterns in our mind and those habits of the body. Tonight, Lord, you forgive me and set me free. I want to be cleansed by your Holy Spirit. I want to be released to be born again. And Lord, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I need your Holy Spirit. I need to be baptized in your Holy Spirit. I need to be have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I need to be re-baptized in your Holy Spirit. Tonight, Lord, I want to be touched by you. I sang that one touch from the King would change my life. Tonight, Lord, in this place, in this church, in the churches that are here, we want to see your Spirit move. When we lay hands upon the sick with a cane or a wheelchair or a walker, Lord, we would see people healed. They would walk. We want to see the blind to see and the deaf to hear. They would be amazed by your kingdom and they would come. They would come. And they would find out the deception in their life and they would know you. Tonight, Lord, I ask for more. Would you fill me, Lord? And your word says, how much more? How much more does the Father desire to give you the Holy Spirit? See, he desires to put that ring of authority and that mantle on you and let's reveal your destiny to you. And now we say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and just begin to rest. As you rested upon Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you would come and rest. Be, okay, more, Lord. Yep, right there. More, Lord. More. We say yes. We bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. More. Just begin to pour out, Holy Spirit. Begin to touch. Begin to reveal your very living presence to them. Come, Holy Spirit. You lay hands on them, Holy Spirit. You touch, Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit's beginning to move. Just wait there. The team members are going to come along and pray for you. The pastors are going to lay hands upon you. We're praying for words of knowledge. We're praying for prophetic words to speak into your life. But if tonight is a first night that you've given your life to the Lord, if tonight is a night that you've received Jesus for the first time, if tonight was a night that you were born again, it was the first time you ever prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm going to ask you to go over here to your left to this fire escape. Or the fire exit here where Pastor Jules is, or Pastor Paul, was standing right there. If you've accepted Jesus for your as your Lord and Savior tonight for the first time, it's important that you go and get with the pastor. If you would, just step right over there to the doorway. He'd like to give you something, some words to speak into your life. If tonight was the first time that you've been born again, that you would go. Make your way quickly. If this is a night, even if you're not down front, if you've accepted Jesus when you were back there in that, I ask you to come down now to this doorway. It's important that you acknowledge it before someone to be baptized. Now, as the worship team plays over you and we move among you, the team is going to begin to pray for you. We just release that. We bless you. There'll be no formal release. This is it. I encourage you to stay as long as you can. Get prayed for as many times as you can. Allow God to minister to you. And see you tomorrow night. Bring a friend.